Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 13, Parent Work Continued. Now, you have noticed by now that I'm spending a lot of time, perhaps even an inordinate amount of time, it would seem, on parent work. I'm not done. This is by no means the last lecture segment about it either. Why am I doing this? For several reasons. Number one, because in the 20th century, Waldorf schools had their chance, and they by no means took full advantage of it, to learn how to work with children. The 21st century, our century, is all about working with parents. I assure you that the parent work is going to grow and grow in importance, and you will see that the parents are the other two-thirds of the class, as I like to say, that they are really what is often the missing link. And we will not be able to succeed as an educational movement. We will not be able to go forward until we really have solidified our work, our educational work, our transformational work with parents. Increasingly, parents recognize something is going on in those classrooms, something lives in that school, which can benefit me as well. Why won't the teachers be frank about it? Why won't they open up? What's going on in there? And what becomes a longing, a wish to be part of something, when that is not reciprocated, when the teachers above all do not share the anthroposophical foundations that underlie the work, then parents get resentful and feel that they're being excluded, or that there's an in-group of the parents, the small number who may be anthroposophists. They have an in, and everyone else comes second. And then you get a whole lot of negativity around the school, which feeds into the often justifiable criticisms that you see all over the internet, that Waldorf schools hide what they're really about. Now, this is enough of an issue with independent schools. Those of you who are working in charter schools, you really have an even more complex set of issues to deal with, because how do you stand on anthroposophy? What are you allowed to do out of anthroposophy and with anthroposophy? That's complex enough. And I think that certainly of all the training centers, Rudolf Steiner College has been heroically struggling with this issue for years and years. It's come to court. It's gone out of court. It's come back to court. I don't know that that's ever going to quite end. Also, as I've said before, you don't have parents who are vested in Waldorf education, and certainly not anthroposophy, to the degree that the most successful, most established Waldorf schools tend to have, the independent schools, that is. Even in the independent schools, that's changing. But certainly, in a charter school, you may have 5%, maybe 10% of the parents who come really knowing what's there and what they expect. And others are perhaps going to grow more interested, but there'll always be a very large percent who are just sending their child there because it's in the neighborhood, it's close, the teachers are nice, the child likes it. And that's good enough, and that's fine. You certainly can't force anyone to go any further than that. Nonetheless, there's no reason not to bring an openness about such issues as the fourfold human being, the way in which we are working with children. And I've been invited to any number of charter schools to speak in that way, to talk to teachers and to parents about it. And much to everyone's surprise, it hasn't been a negative experience at all. It hasn't been an issue. It's been something that the parents generally appreciate. We sell our parents short, whether they're independent school parents, public school, charter, whatever. We sell them short if we think that they are not capable of understanding and of at least having a tolerance for, if not an appreciation of, Rudolf Steiner's ideas. He never said this is just for an elite. He said this is for everybody. So that's really, really important. We have to enhance our work with the parents, and if we do not do that as a whole school, the path from fourth through eighth grade is always going to be rocky, and we're going to see smaller and smaller classes and more issues in those upper grades. The kind of momentum, the impetus, the gift that the spiritual world gives us for the first three grades grows old pretty quickly in grade four and up. So that's one reason. The other is for you, dear teacher. I'm talking about your future, your survival, as it were. And the question I always like to ask in trainings and conferences is, not how many parents does it take to change a light bulb, but on the lighter side of things, how many parents does it take to fire a Waldorf teacher? And after barely a moment's hesitation, the correct answer is always given, one. One parent, okay? Maybe you have 25 children in your class, you have 50 parents, well, let's say there have been some divorces and so on, maybe you have 60 or 65 parents. All it takes is one, you know? 2% of your parent body is all that's needed for you to be out. So, you want to cultivate your parent relationships. You want to keep those strong and viable, and you want to have a pretty good feeling about how people really feel about you, what they're really thinking about you, feeling, saying about you, and so on. That's important. I'm going to give you in a subsequent lecture very concrete advice about that. But I just want to say, again, this is why I make such a big, big fuss about parent work, even though in other places it might just be an afterthought at the end and basically, oh, those Generation Y people, you know, keep them at a distance, the helicopter parent. It's all of this kind of newspaper column stereotyping and cliches. And basically, it's the same old message that's been given since 1919. You know, keep the parents out of here. It's none of their business. We're the authorities. And those days are gone. We certainly don't have the luxury of that, nor should we want that relationship to be perpetuated in that way. And I think that this is a big dividing line between teachers of my generation, people who are in their late 50s, early 60s, who are still class teaching, and how they feel about their parents and relate to parents, and how a younger generation who, being closer in age to the parents, has a sense that something of a more democratic impulse, dare I say it, or at least more of an openness, needs to be cultivated. Okay, so that's also very, very important. And thirdly, and you'll hear more about this in the conferences that you'll take in the future, I hope, if I haven't lost you yet, particularly grades 6, 7, and 8, about the change in karma and the fact that you still have a strong, active karmic relationship with the parents, much stronger than what you have with the children. And unless that gets worked out, and unless that's brought to some kind of state of balance, homeostasis, whatever we want to call it, there again, we can't even effectively teach the children, because it's not to say the parents are sort of standing between you and the child. It's rather the karmic cloud the karmic mass, the karmic veil between you and the parents, it's you as well, that is standing between the parents and your ability to work with the child. So between you and your ability to work with the child. So that too is extremely important, and I, you know, beseech you to really take that to heart. At the time that these lectures are being given, the financial woes of school remain present for many institutions. In the old days, it was just a matter of course that experienced teachers, master teachers, people who were teaching in the training institutes and so on, would be invited to schools to give lectures to parents about Waldorf education. Schools can't afford that, or they might only be able to afford, you know, somebody that OSNA sends their way, who may be a perfectly good teacher, but not a very good parent person, not a person who can really explain to parents in anything but cliches what Waldorf is about. So schools are suffering much more than they realize. And there's nothing wrong whatsoever, I recommend it highly, with the teachers from the school getting up there and becoming spokespeople, not just for their own grade, but for Waldorf education at large. Working together perhaps as a panel to talk about a theme like reading in the Waldorf school, arithmetic in the Waldorf school. Teachers from that school can do a tremendous amount, but generally they don't because they're too tired, they're too overworked, because they're nervous when they get in front of parents and so on, you know, all the usual issues. So parents are getting, just at the time that they need more education, more parent work, parents are really getting not their share of what they need. You know, they're getting shortchanged in this matter. And this is the worst time in the history of Waldorf education for parent work to be diminishing rather than increasing. So whatever you can do in your school to awaken that consciousness, that people need to come from outside often makes a deeper impression than from within, but from without, from within, whatever, people who can really speak to today's parents out of the deep spiritual impulses and deep spiritual needs that are there in the life of the parents. It's a very new dimension and something to which we really need to rise. Now, I'm going to go on in the next lectures, just to keep you apprised. We're going to discuss, go back to the parent conference, the individual family conference that you hold, I hope, twice a year. And I want to make a little digression on working with dads. I've spoken about the importance of that. I also want to give you some concrete advice about that important aspect of our work. And we're also then going to see, you know, working with parents on a daily basis. And there I have some, I think, very helpful advice for you.